Going to be listening to one here shortly. This is our 259th course that was played January 27th. Where'd my calendar go? Make sure I'm not losing my brain cells here. So I gotta get ready for work here a little bit. So yeah, January 27th, we went out. And over in Lynchburg, there's a couple courses over there I haven't played yet. I could only do one course this particular day, as mentioned, as you'll hear me make a comment about, because I had a bunch of stuff to do here at the house. We had some bad weather coming in. I was going to try to hit one further south in Virginia, but unfortunately the weather was coming up from that direction, so I figured I'd have less day to work with if I went down south. So I went a little further north. We got a course in, weather was beautiful. Courses a really good shape, fairly easy for the most part. You'll hear me comment about the fact that it's good for advanced amateurs and pros. You can use this for just a good play around with your buddies or your girlfriends type place, or you can try disc you've never used before or shot shapes that you need to practice on. Like if you're not good with forehands, this would be a great one to practice that on. If you've got monster drives, try changing it up, try doing high forehand, like trick shot type stuff, so when you get stuck in crap at other courses, you'll get that time in. But the course is in great shape. I had two particular shots off the top of my head that really come was back on three. I just hammered the dogma out of it. I got a picture of it over on Instagram. JT Norton, COM for Instagram people. We're going to get into that social media crap here in a second. And it was 250 because I was playing the B placements, and there's a bathroom. The B basket sits in a clump of trees, and then past a clump of trees, you got a path. Past that path is a bathroom, and for men and women, and they've got caging to protect, I guess, to keep animals and stuff like that out from getting into the vented section up above it. And I hit that crap so hard, you could probably hear it across the park. I mean, I absolutely just hammered a Roadrunner on that one. So, unfortunately, that road's OB. So, so you don't want to land in it. The benefit I had is I literally hit the cage so hard that it bounced off, hit the road, and slid into the dirt on the backside of the basket. So, it was pretty hammered shot. That was on the front nine, so we weren't recording on the podcast. The second one was with a four-handed, high arcing, right to left, hyzering type, forehand upshot to a basket on the back nine, which is on the podcast, so you'll hear me talk about that. I wish I would have videoed that, because that was a really, really good shot. I practiced that particular shot a lot, so, and it worked out for me again there. The course it gets 4 stars, as mentioned in the podcast. When I make a comment about there's not enough water in play, there's no water in play anywhere. And for me personally to give a course 5 stars, it has to have, which I've mentioned in some of the episodes as I was traveling, for me a five star course has everything. It has something for the beginner, and then all of us intermediate people, and then your pro level people, and then environmentally they have everything in play. They have lake in play, water in play, woods difficulty. The difficulty range is that you could basically go there and play just about anything, and I don't mean snow and rain, I mean just physical conditions of the course. And there are a few out there that out there that are like that. Not many, but there's quite a few out there. And I don't mean just a big lake with a basket on the other side. I mean true shot shaping and the building of a course. To me, five-star courses are rare, in my opinion. And this is 259 later. 27 states, 259. It's for me personally, to get a five-star out of me, and I'm not claiming to be any kind of course expert. I just play a lot of courses. It would have to, that's the way I think about it. Does it have something for everyone? So I've ran into some that could be five-star courses, but they have nothing for the beginners. There's one in Georgia that's like that. There's one in Alabama that's like that. There's one in Oklahoma like that. They're just beautiful, beautiful courses, but new people can't play the course because it's too freaking big or too different, or there's too much woods, or just the placement is just, they don't compensate for the beginner or new, or the, let's call it low-end amateur people, the people that just go out and play for fun and stuff. Those aren't courses these people want to go to. And that's the core of your playing base. I mean, if you want to cater to pros, I mean, look what you're limiting yourself to. I mean, you're limiting yourself to a smaller window. I mean, when you're talking true pros now, I'm talking true pros, that window is much smaller than the throwing base. And to get on that topic for a little bit is that I'm watching YouTube, I watch, like all of us that are into disc golf, I watch that stuff because I'm seeing what I can take away from it. The two things that annoy me about the social media or the media platform in general is that you have a pro-level person playing a disc and say, okay, let's see what it can do. What it's going to do for that person is not what it's going to do for you. What you need to do is, does that person remotely throw like me? So that's like me watching Gannon Burr or Eagle or Paul and saying, okay, well, I'm going to go buy that disc because I'm going to be able to throw it just like him. I can't throw 500-600 feet. So figure out what works for you and your game, and then try to push the limits. Right now, I'm trying to push my range. I'm trying to get my consistency, my short and mid game, and I'm trying to push my distance a little bit. And it's just increments. And I don't mind changing discs, but some discs just flat out work. So, I mean, for me personally, a Roadrunner, unless for some stupid reason some manufacturer wants to give me a bunch of discs and support the podcast or something, a Roadrunner will probably never leave my bag. So, I mean, it's a proven solid disc. I mean, just because they put a new stamp on it doesn't mean I'm going to go buy another one. figure out what works for you and go for it. I mean, if it's unorthodox, and I have several unorthodox throwing styles that I've developed, such as I mentioned in the podcast, I have a technique called a Jackie Chan because I don't jump putt. I do some stuff with the bird that really come off, I guess, more as trick shots, which I never thought about it that way until a player brought it to my attention, because I was using the forehand flick with a bird, and the two guys thought it was just ridiculously bizarre. I mean, they even thought it was odd that I was putting with it. So apparently I have some techniques that aren't common. So whatever works for you, stick with it. And when you get a disc, I mean, you can use them as an example. For instance, like, and I know there's a ton of discs out there besides the one I'm mentioning. This is just what I personally have experience with. You have like the Zone and the Buzz. I have the Buzz and I've used the Buzz, and it's an okay disc, but I haven't latched onto it like some people do. Same way with the Nuke, same way with the Destroyer. It's just personally not a disc for me. I mean, as my game evolves, maybe I can come back to it and it'll work out for me. The Zone was one I was not particularly familiar with, but the more I throw it, the gentleman that I got it from in a tournament made a comment that the more you beat it in, the better it gets. So I have that, and then I have discs that I have very specific uses for that I used to use a lot. So don't be afraid to change your game up a little bit, but you do have to stick with something long enough to figure it out. And if it works, don't fucking change it. Good Lord, people. I mean, I know I can hammer a Roadrunner 250 straight down the course, and it won't go left and won't go right. I know it's going to do that, so I'm going to keep it in my bag. The Sidewinder, I know we'll do the same thing, and then we'll drift left at the back end. But yet, if I want to, if I need a digging ground play, skip left, or hyzer, as we like to call it. I can use the eagle and the sidewinder for that. A roadrunner, for me, has a tendency not to do that. It doesn't, when it hits the ground and jump up, it won't jump like the eagle or the sidewinder. So figure out how your discs work, and you can watch these people on YouTube and watch their form. But you're going to have to figure out how to work on one piece at a time. Work on your snap, work on your form. To me, legwork, it was the biggest change for me, is that when I learned how to step properly into it. As I go to step, I'm right-handed, by the way. So as I go to step, your leg crossing, to me, that's one of the early most important parts about making it effective. Whether you run up or whether you're just taking a few steps up, which most of the time I'm not running up because I haven't practiced the run up as much as I should, which is probably why my distance sucks. But I'll usually take two or three steps in, but when them leg placements and you plant that foot and you pull through, all that is feeling a lot better. So once I get that down and it becomes a little more second nature, then I can back a little bit further away and then do a little bit more of a run up, which I'm horrible at the moment. So we'll work on that later on down the line, but just three or four steps into it, I can throw it 350 feet. 350 and make it go where I wanted to go. So I guess if I learned to run up, I could probably get some more distance. But I know my disc. Again, another instance in disc I use the Mamba, is another popular disc that I use. The Mamba Star and the Mamba Halo, those discs throw differently. They fly differently. So you have to stick with something for a while. I personally practice not as much as I should, but I like field practice and what they call fundamentals. I do that, but I like to, when there's a score involved, there's a little more at risk, I guess is a way of putting it. So that's why I like using these games for practice, and I take this with me on these practice games. When I'm in a tournament, I took the pro advice last year, and I'm going to stick to it. When I go into a tournament, I empty my bag, and I load my bag to what I know is consistent, what I know it's going to do. I don't take stuff that I don't throw that often. I just keep the stuff in there that I know what it's going to do. So I play to my bag when it comes to a tournament. I don't experiment too much. And then when I get stuck, I can use that stuff I've been practicing on. So that's some pro advice I was given beginning of last year, and it really helped my game overall. So I greatly appreciate them for that. I got some dad advice at the end of this one. It's really short. I'll expand on it a little bit here. It's just some of y'all are really young. I know face-to-face communication is something that's tough if you don't have experience doing it, but it's extremely important to try to figure out how to do that. In life, you're going to meet a lot of people, and you're going to need to be able to communicate with them face to face. I had somebody actually tell me that I don't have communication skills, which I kind of chuckled at. I'm older, okay? So, kid, this is me venting a little bit too. I'm older, so I don't have any tolerance for needy people. I will give you all the respect in the world. I will communicate with you 10 ways till Sunday. But if I have to text or talk to you every hour of the day or every few hours, because when I'm at work, I'm working. So, I mean, I'll answer you at lunchtime or something like that. But I'm there to work. So I focus on my job, try to do the best job I can, try to be as fair as I can to the people that I interact with, make sure that they have a genuine, honest interaction with me so that I can make sure I give them what I need or what they need from the company, and it's in an honest way. I can't discuss exactly what I do because I'm under a non-disclosure agreement. So, but mine is based on, I go to customers invite us out to their homes. I see what they need, and I'm very honest with it. Even if I don't make a lot of money, even if I don't make a lot of money from it, or a company don't make a lot of money from it, I want to be honest so that they get what they need, and it works out very well. So, but personally, I don't care for needy people. I'll take care of somebody 10 ways till Sunday. I've proven it more than once over the years. It's just, unfortunately, I have a tendency to attract very needy people. So I have chosen to not to attempt to attract any more people and focus on getting stuff together. As far as the dad advice that's in there, it's about developing skill sets. Some jobs, I make a comment about Walmart. Walmart, as a general rule, that is not a career job. That is not something that's going to build you wealth. I mean, look at their salary. I mean, their pay rate sucks. Their insurance rate sucks. Unless you become a manager or something, their managers apparently make really good money, then that could lead you to something. But the bulk of their staff doesn't make good money. If you don't want to go through 4 years of college and deal with a bunch of the college people, some of those can be interesting at times. The trades are actually extremely profitable if you develop a skill set. So whatever your skill set is early on, develop it. But to me, the one thing I always focused on a lot of other things, I never stuck to one thing for long periods of time when I was younger, and that was probably one of the biggest mistakes I made as a young person. Find something that you love to do. If it's being an electrician or contracting or sales or whatever be the case, if you're good at running your mouth, then sales is a good one for you. Go in and stick to that and develop your skill set. People hop around too much, or they expect to make millions off social media because they see four or five people doing it. Most people aren't motivated to the level of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and people like that. Those people are few and far between. You motivational videos are not going to help you become one of those people. They were born to be those people. They focus on nothing else but whatever they were focused on. They were very difficult people, not very nice at times, but they had a vision and they weren't going to let anybody stand in their way. Most people are not like that. I can't be that way because I can't. I mean, you have to be mean to people. Otherwise, when you have that kind of determination and focus, you're not always nice. And unfortunately, I can't be that mean to people. That's just not in me. That's why I could never be a true salesman in the sense of word, is that I don't have the aggressive nature necessary to make that sale and sell up people into stuff that they probably don't need or can't afford. That's something that I'm not able. I can't bring myself to do. But develop a skill set and stick to it, but make sure you take care of your responsibilities. If you're like me and you got married young and you have children when you're young, focus on them children, focus on your family, get them taken care of. I'm not saying you should stay in a toxic relationship just because you have kids, because that toxic relationship is not going to do anybody any good. You have to be selfish at some point. You have to do something for yourself, but you can't sacrifice your family to do it. And I never did. My boys always had their child support. They always had insurance. I stayed in a job that I absolutely hated for many, many, many years to make sure they were taken care of. So, and then later on down the line, when I got a chance to travel and I got a chance to do things because they all grew up, I went and did that. Whatever your ex says about you or whatever your ex says, you can't take that to heart. I mean, that relationship is over, move on. Easier said than done. I understand, but, be a little selfish at some point. I mean, if you've got a big family and stuff like that, and you've got to take care of your kids and you got to help your wife, you got to help your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it happens to be, you're going to have to figure out how to make time, even if that means you have to get up and an hour earlier in the morning to be able to sit or to go out in the backyard and practice or sit down and write or go draw something or whatever it is that you're into. You're going to have to make time. I mean, even if it's just find a couple educational videos or audiobooks and listen to them while you're driving down in the car, you're going to have to make time. You can make excuses all day long, but you're going to have to make time. build yourself a skill set. The earlier you do it, the better you're off you're going to be. For you, yourself, your family, I mean, you could build your family a good life, but unfortunately, you got to work for it. So, and I mean, I'm not good looking and have the ability to splash my crap all over social media or go over to OF or anything. So, too old, too ugly for that stuff. I'm focused on my work at the moment, and I'll focus on the other aspects of racing and stuff when it comes to that point. I have a lot of things to work on, but you always will. There's a lot of noise out there, people. You got to turn it off. All right, I've ran my mouth long enough. So develop yourself a skill set. Learn how to communicate face-to-face with people. When you go into an interview, dress appropriately, dress nice, because it's a sign of respect to the people that are taking their time out to sit down with you. I see way too much people coming into interviews and they dress like bums. Please don't do that. Just buy yourself a night. You don't have to go out and buy a wardrobe. Just go out and buy a couple nice pair of shirts and pants and be respectful of who you're going to if you really want that job. So, but you're not going to walk in rich. You're going to have to work for anything. So, learn a skill, focus on a skill, take some time for yourself, but take care of your family. If you got family that supports you, for God bid, take care of them. If you have non-family members that support you, be there for them, take care of them, because they're extremely valuable. In my life, unfortunately, I'm not a very social person, so I don't have like hundreds of friends. But the ones I do have, I care for, and I've had a lot of people in the past step up and help me, and they weren't family. So, family doesn't always mean blood. All right, folks, let's go listen to this one. It's only about 36 minutes long, I think, and we'll get another disc golf course in. Appreciate y'all listening in. This is me venting a little bit and just running my pothole. Good throw, bad throw, doesn't matter. Let's go throw. Let's go now and throw some more. Alrighty, welcome. We are at another one. We are in Lynchburg, Virginia this time. I was going to do one further south, but we got bad weather rolling in today. And when I looked at it, there's a flooding in Blacksburg and Christiansburg, and I have to drive through that to get to the one that I originally was planning on getting to. And the weather gets bad quicker down there than it does up here towards Roanoke. So I decided to go a little more north. Get an early start. I was planning on doing two today because this is our 259th course. I was going to try to get 260, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get this one done. I got to make a couple stops on the way home, and then I got to get some work done before the rain rolls in. We're walking nine. We're about to finish the front half. I figured I'd start you. I've already made my throw on nine. It's 165 feet. I threw a zone. Have no idea where it's landed. I haven't walked up here yet. It felt good, but I nipped the tree, so we might be short. It could have rolled, who knows. We're at Pikes View Park. This is in Lynchburg, Virginia. It has a pin and a B pin. A is only 3,000 feet, so I figured I'd take the B pin, make it a little more challenging. When I looked at some of the footages on the A pin, I just deleted the scorecard, restarted it, and we're playing the B pins. The front nine hasn't gone very well. I had a couple bogeys, no double bogeys. I'm very, very happy with the way it feels today. My form feels good. My pull-through feels good. I've had a couple fantastic drives already. No birdies, unfortunately. Three bogeys, so it puts us at plus three. Oh, shit, we landed next to the basket. Oh, damn. We're about to get a birdie, folks. I take that back. So this is literally going to be a tap-in bird. So let me clip down to my cart right quick. I got my wired mic on, not my wireless, because it still hasn't freaking got here yet. All right, got us a bird. I take that back. We will end the front nine with a bird. So it's 3 feet away from the basket. It's basically just a drop in, tap in, whatever you go to call it. All right, so we're going to get a 209. All right, so we're at plus two. First time ever playing the course. Sign's fantastic. I don't care for these prodigy baskets. These are ones with the outer and inner chains, and then the cross chains on the inside.
and it's very, very heavy metal on these, so I'm not a big fan of these. So if you don't put a little bit to it and you go too high, it could pop you out, so be careful. All right, so all right, we got plus two front nine. Let's go to 10, see what we got. We got a bird on nine, so cool. All right, 175. Where are we going? I see the blue pin. It's right there in front of me, but we need the B pin, which is apparently down to the right somewhere. Oh, I see it. Damn, 175? Oh, crap. These short, hard rights I'm not very good at. Probably just forehand up that zone. And hope I can pull this off. I haven't really practiced this at 175. So, but that's what we're doing today, right? Practicing. Let me move y'all a little closer. So, all right. Yeah, I'm good with the forehand on the berg, but not at 175 with this many trees. So, I know this zone's gonna give me a little bit more distance. I'm thinking of the Aviar, but that's six claw, but it's a little light. I don't have my heavy six claw, so we're probably just gonna go ahead and go with the zone. I just have to pull a lot of power out of it. All right, that's my first, let's go. All right, number 10, first throw. Zone forehand, 175 according to the sign, 175 according to you. Just see what we can do. First throw on 10. Ah, threw it too low. Skip up front. Threw it too low, caught the ground, hit some roots. There's a lot of tree roots out here, by the way. On the back half, anyways. Front half's not too bad. Cart friendly, even for the full size cart, which is what I have. I liked the release and the snap. It's just I didn't give it enough height. My arm dropped a little too much. So, and you really can't ground play this hole. So there's just, it's like a spider web of roots. So if you hit the ground, it's going to do exactly what it just did to me, is put the brakes on it. So we're going to try to toss up a berg. We're going to use the heavy bead and those leaves and try to get this to sit still as close to the basket as we can get. So, all right, let's see what we can do. So, man, I'm going to have to take a lot out of this. So, some people ask me, why do you putt with a berg? And I was like, so it doesn't roll, basically. Get around it. Oh, damn it. Released too early, popped the tree. So we're going to have to... we're gonna have to work for this par, people. This is one of the mistakes I make, is that I was expecting to release late. So the point I was looking at is where I threw to, expecting to release late, and that's not how you play disc golf. So I wanted to go out further. That I should have changed my release point. I didn't do that, so I hit a tree, paid for it, so now we gotta work for it, try to save this par. And it's not an easy par. If I miss and get too ugly with this, it can go downhill, so this could easily turn into a five. Third throw and 10. Overthrow it, don't roll. Oh, we were saved by a branch. Oh, if that branch hadn't been on the ground, we would have rolled down the damn hill. So we're gonna get a four on this. God, that sucks. It's really easy, folks. It's not really that difficult of a hole. So, but that's fine. It's what it is. It's a beautiful course, beautiful scenery. Like I said, not a big fan of the baskets, but that's all right. They're not bad. Little too weak on them chains, but it stayed in, so we're just gonna end up with a bogey. So, oh, that bites. So we chopped our score down and just added right back to it, so never a good thing. But that's disc golf, right? I have way too much crap in my bag, because once again, on these games, I carry a bunch of stuff I don't normally carry. So I was a 4, by the way, on 10. So it was all me. I mean, it's not the course. It's not difficulty related. It's just me not throwing properly. So. All right, 200 feet, but we have a lot of trees. We have a high left side with a downhill slope to the right. My first thought is to forehand it, but I don't want it to dive that much right. So I'm going to try to flex this Aviar putter down the center of the fairway because I have thrown this at 200. See if I can't S through these trees a little bit. If y'all played this course before, you got that skinny dead punk sitting right in the middle. I'm going to try to pull off to the left of that and get this left pole on the 6th ball to come back for me. So. All right, first throw on 11, Aviar 6 ball.
Get around it. Damn it, I hit the tree. Oh, I needed about 3 inches to the right. Damn it, or we would have cleared it. Oh, damn, that was looking good. Just took too much out of it. I was a little too timid with the disc. I should have put a little more power in it. It would have drove another probably 20 feet before it started to go right, and then it would have come back on me, and unfortunately it didn't do that. So just not powering these enough, and we rolled down to the little path down here. So all right, I'm just gonna walk down here and leave y'all clipped to my cart. So I'm gonna do a second throw on 10. Hopefully my cart doesn't dump. All right, see if we can't get this up here and save a par. I'm gonna take a berg with me because I'll probably just use a berg. We're too close for anything else. Hit your first throw on this. I had to forehand a berg because I had too many trees trying to come right to left to try to do like a hyzer in. And so I did a forehand, but again, I'm lacking power today. I'm backing too much out of these things, and we nipped some bushes here. This hole is not particularly cart friendly in the direction that I've decided to put these discs. So we're gonna have to struggle to save par. All right, but it's a practice game, so let's go after it. All right, we're gonna use, I've got the berg once again. It's not the berg, it's just me at my throwing today. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the disc. I know some of y'all don't like berg, but I like it because it doesn't roll away on me. Third throw on 11. I'm using the Aviar. Come on, don't roll. And it fucking rolled. Damn it. That is why I don't throw these things. Damn it, I hate the roll on them thing. I liked this, but should have thrown the berg. No, that damn berg is not going to do that. It literally hit the ground flat, hopped up, and then got on its bead and freaking rolled. Damn it. Crap. Now I got to save a 4, for Christ's sake. Isn't it like this hole's ridiculously tough? All right. That's what it is. We're good. I'm on 10 on my scorecard. I ain't go back there yet. All right.
So we've got two birds trying to save a 4 here.
Thank you. Oh. Alright, so I don't like bogeys, but they're better than double bogeys, knock on wood. So alright, we got enough game left. Let's go see if we can't grab ourselves another bird. I just gotta figure out where the hell I'm going. Alright. So All right, the basket is here, pad's back there. So we have to go down the hill. Doesn't look like it's far away.
Where the hell's that? No idea where I'm going here. So. Where the hell am I going? Don't know where I'm going, folks. I am so damn confused. Where the hell's this pad at?
Oh, never mind. I found it. So. I figured it out. Let me hurry up and get out of these guys' way. So. The other downside of not playing is when our locals come up behind you and you don't know where you're going. So. All right. 195, another one of these. We gotta go right. Just gonna roadrunner our damn four-handed roadrunner. First throw 12. I have no idea how we did, so let's go find out. Oh, dropped the dust, had to get it. I think we come up short here. All right, second throw on 12. I already see 13, so that'd be easy enough. I think they're playing short, so probably gonna catch up to us pretty quick. Second throw on 12, bird. I'm gonna leave y'all here. It's gonna be a three next to the basket. We got a three anyways. That's what we should have done on the freaking last two bastards. 199 on 13. I'm just gonna drive a roadrunner at it, hope for some right. First throw on 13, roadrunner. Release too early, release too low, we hit the ground, skipped up, popped the tree, dropped back to the ground, and rolled backwards. So. Oh, I get to practice my forehand upshot with my bird. Okay, cool. All right, forehand bird practice, here we go. Move y'all a little bit. Y'all right next to me. Too close. Forehand bird, second throw on 13. Just trying to get it close. A little weak on the power, so I'm not sure how close they are. I was a little too high and again, backed out of the power, but we popped the tree, give a little forward kick, and see what we can do here. All right, I see 14. That's going to be a quick transition. I'll keep you all clipped as we try to par out here. Third throw with a bird. Oh my God, it almost slid out. All right, we're good. Got us three. 14. Oh my God, how short is this freaking thing? Good Lord, what is this, 150 feet? You gotta be kidding me. Somebody said this was for advanced and amateurs. I don't know about that. I really like to play this a second time today because I'm sure we get under par here. I'm gonna berg this 155. I'm gonna use a berg. Again, we're throwing a B placement, not a straight M. Actually, the AVR makes more sense here if I throw it properly. So I'm just gonna put some power to it, unlike I did last time, and see if it makes a difference. First throw on 13. Don't go in, don't go in. Damn, we just about did a black ace where we hit the wrong damn basket. You don't hear that much on a disc golf game, do you? Don't go in, don't go in. The blue basket is straight down, and I didn't give it enough height, so it didn't hyzer over for me. So I gave it more power, but when I don't give it the height, it stalls on me a little bit, and that's when it dives left on me. So the heavyweight one doesn't do that. But in this case, I powered too much and dropped my arm a little too much. So, all right, we have a drop away behind this, so we're just gonna throw this up and save a three, since some of these throws I've made kind of matches with the word throw up. So, all right, probably gonna do a bird, so I'm gonna grab that. Crowd's really low. Second throw on 14. Don't stop. Whoops. We went over the hill. I don't know if we rolled though. All right, Berg, I need you to do your thing and sit still for me. Did you sit still or did you screw me? Nope, you sat still. Did exactly what I want you to do. Perfect. That heavy bead grabs that soil, so that's what the AVR would have rolled down a bit. Saved our three. All right, I see 15. Oh, we only got a couple left. We need a birdie. Need a birdie. That's fine. It's actually not a bad game. As much as I don't like the plus on this particular course because it's not super difficult. A lot of my game feels a lot better than it has been for a long time. So, just gotta keep working at it, right? Like always. All right, straight down, 200. Let's do the same thing. I'm gonna do an AVR, put some power to it, and go straight for it. 15 AVR first throw, 160. Nope, damn, nipped a skinny tree. Still not enough height, so. Damn, that sucked. That had potential. Should have forehanded that zone is what I should have done, probably. So. All right. Berg. Hi, Annie, into the basket, trying to get it underneath. Save a three. That's exactly what we got, under the basket. All right. Well, that part of my game is doing okay today. Aviar doesn't quite grab the ground as well, but it's just from this particular angle and the hill setup, it's just a little more comfortable. All right, that is three, ladies and gentlemen. Damn it, I forgot this hole behind. Forgot to punch in the last number. All right, so we got three holes left to try to get a birdie. So, they're playing the blues behind me, so they might catch us before we finish. So, I'm kind of using them to push me a little bit so I don't try so much. 16, 255. I see the blue basket, I don't see the yellow one. It says it's over the creek. Oh, that ought to be interesting. Diamond, so 255 over the creek, huh? All right, this is probably gonna end up under that bridge. All right, and it's bright orange, so we should be able to find it out here. 255, 16, I'm gonna use a diamond. So. One disc I'm not giving enough height to, and the other one I'm giving too much to. Oh, Jesus Christ. I see the basket now. I would have done that differently if I would have known that's where it was. Well, shoot. All right, well. It's the downside of not knowing courses, right? Walking past blue, for those of you that have played this course. Figure out where the hell I ended up here. I'm gonna leave y'all down here for a minute. We got back to make second through. Had a camera on me for that one. Second throw, if we all played this course, I'm high left on the hill, up on the bank, so where the blue basket is, about 30 feet up the hill to the left of that. So keep in mind it's December. So I did a high hyzer with a forehand berg and put a little power to it. We're 6 feet away from the basket, so hopefully I don't screw this up. We can save a three, because this is a really nice scramble. So. Really, really gorgeous, gorgeous throw. So, very happy with that. All right, three on 16. At times like this, it sucks that this is an audio and not video, because that was a pretty spectacular second throw. I'm very happy with myself. It's a forehand, aggressive, high aggressive forehand with a Berg K1 soft that I practice a lot. And it's for that specific type of shot where I have to navigate trees. I needed to stall, dive left, and I need the heavy beat of the bird to grab the ground and hold still and spin in place, and that's exactly what it did. Whew, I'm very, very happy with that. All right, F2, let's put some power to this. Oh, 16 was such a pretty three. All right, 260. I'm just gonna go after the basket. I'm gonna use an F2. Why? Please. Why the hell not? Damn it, I don't know. Height again. We got some ground play, but not enough height, released a little too early. So we got some ground play, so we got a forward skip about 50-60. Unfortunately, it skipped off to the left, so I'm probably gonna have to do another forehand hyzer bank shot into this to clear this tree. But let's see once I get up here, because the trees are crowding this from my angle. Even though there's no leaves on them, we have those skinny ass branches to deal with. All right, aggressive zone forehand. No zone is too much. I can't go high because there's a tree in the way. All right, Aviar forehand. I'm gonna come up to a really low, almost burner type shot. Trying to get it close to save a three. Fuck, I hit a rock. Too low again. It was right where I was looking. It was going where I was looking. I just dropped my arm too much. All right, we're gonna try to bank this in. We can still save a three if I can sink this. Got some skinny tree branches to navigate though. All right, it'd be a four. Ah, that sucks. That's fine. Remain calm, Norton. Stay calm. Ah, damn it. And that's the sound of a four, ladies and gentlemen. So once we can birdie this damn thing, it's gonna be a pain in the ass. I like the course. It's not super difficult. Now that I know where everything is, you can get under par here with no problem whatsoever. If you're seasoned amateur or advanced amateur, you're not gonna have a problem getting below par here. 235. I did score 17. Yes, it's 4. 235 according to 18 on UDisc. All right, I'm just going to take a roadrunner, chunk it down there. I'm going to hyzer a little bit. Oh, we got to go straight, don't we? Oh, shit. 235. If I use the strike, I'm going to overthrow it. I could forehand it. Got a hook through it. Now I'll just go straight. 235, 18, first throw we're in.
Too high, damn. Get through there. Come on.
We just got some tree love there. Way too high. Beautiful throw though. I mean, it's just before I got my height, it felt good, came out good, snap felt good. Just a little too high, so we got some tree tap, but it didn't put the brakes on the disc and it didn't kick us left or right. So let's see what it gave us, because we kept going forward. I just don't know how close we got. So where'd we go? I can't see us yet. Where the hell did it go? It's open field, and you know, like it's freaking difficult. Jesus Christ, where'd this thing go? Did I walk past it? No, I didn't walk past it. Where the hell did it go? Oh shit, we shot past the basket. Oh crap. Damn, we must have slid. We must have got some ground play. We hopped past the basket. We're downhill behind it, so we overshot it. Shoot. All right. Second throw on it. Closed out with a bird, folks, or with a bird, folks. Hell yes. Awesome. That was with the 6 claw, by the way.
got us a bird on the last hole. Wow. Cool, 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 cool.
And again, I'm playing B position, not A position, by the way. B is longer, but it isn't like championship level crap out here. So we got a +4. First time ever playing. It's kind of ironic. If we're looking at the front nine, we birdied 9. So looking at the back nine, we birdied 18. We bogeyed 5, 6, 7 on the front nine. We bogeyed 10, 11, 17 on the back nine. So 3 bogeys, 2 birdies is what it is. So, all right. Beautiful course, beautiful scenery. I didn't grab any pictures, so I got to go grab a couple pictures. So this is our 259th course. And it's actually a nice course. If you're a beginner, a true beginner, an amateur that has holes in your game, this is definitely the course for you. Advanced amateurs and pros, overall, you're going to find it too easy. But if you want to try creative shots, change up your game, and you can use this course. Advanced amateurs and pros, you can use this course to try creative scrambling shots. So when you're on the tee, pretend you're stuck in the woods, pretend you're stuck on a hill or something like that, and try to get creative. This would be a good course to use that for. Parking's fantastic, all kinds of facilities, stuff here for the kids if you got your family. Very well taken care of. Concrete pads, signing, it's very well marked. A couple will get away from you a little bit, but once you do it once, it's a cakewalk after that. Fantastic little course. I really, really like it. It's got 4 stars on UDIS. I absolutely agree with it. I wouldn't give it 5 simply because there's not enough water in play. So it's a fantastic little course. What's this? Dad tip of the day. Let's see. What are we going to do? How are we doing on time? We're doing pretty good. All right. What was one of the mistakes I made early on in my life? Again, this is for you younger people that are trying to figure this shit out. Not just disc golf. Not focusing on, you have 2 things that you have to do. You have to go to work. You have to pay your bills. You have to pay your taxes. And trust me, if you don't, they're going to find out. I found out the hard way. If you really love something, focus on it. Do what you need to do. Get your day job, pay your bills, get home, focus on what you love, and try to be best at it. Don't be afraid to change. So if you're super into cycling, but then you get into running, don't whatever you're into, whether you're into HVAC or electrical, stay focused on it, and you'll know when that change comes. I mean, because it may lead you into something else. So stay focused on something. There's a lot of noise out there today, and noise, I mean distractions, from social media to hateful people to family that doesn't give a shit about you. But there's a lot of people out there that care, so you have to find out who they are and keep those close and protect them. You protect them. If they truly care about you, they'll protect you. Be selfish. Make sure you do something for yourself. Make sure you spend a little money on yourself if that's what you need to do. Get time for yourself. You have to. I didn't do enough of that early on. So make sure you do that, please. And focus on a skill set so you can make more money, so you don't end up in Walmart the rest of your life. So all respect to people that work in Walmart, but trust me, that's not a work that's going to build your life. So, all right, great course. Appreciate it, folks. I got to get out of here. I got a ton of stuff to do this afternoon. Love you guys. Love you gals, as always. Good throw. Good putt, bad putt. Short course, long course, doesn't matter. Keep playing. You'll get better. I love y'all, and I shall return. 259 is in the books. Course 259. And we're going to hit 300 without any problem this year. So just keep going after it. Love you. I'll be back.